This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As in, it's 7010. I know, 710, not 7010. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So today بإذن الله عز وجل which is 20th of جمادى الآخرة 1445 الموافق ل الثاني من شهر جانوري 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفي ما نتعلم وأن يكفر لنا الزلات ويكفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped, which is the hadith of Abu Huraira. قال كنا قعودا قال كنا قعودا حول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعنا أبو بكر وعمر. فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بين أظهرنا فأقبل علينا وخشينا أن يقتضى دوننا ففزينا فقمنا فكنت أول من فزع فخرجت أبتغي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى أتيت حائطا للأنصار لبني النجار فدرت به هل أجد له بابا فلم أجد فإذا ربيع يدخل في جوف حائط من بئر خارجة والربيع الجدول الصغير فاحتفزت فدخلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أبو هريرة فقلت نعم نعم يا رسول الله. قال ما شأنك؟ قلت كنت بين أظهرنا فقمت فأبطأت علينا فخشينا أن تقتطع دوننا ففزينا وكنت أول فزينا أتيت هذا الحائط فاحتفزت كما يحتفز الثعلب وهؤلاء الناس ورائي. فقال يا أبا هريرة وأعطاني نعله فقال اذهب بنعلي هذين فمن لقيت من وراء هذا الحائط يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله مستيقنا بها قلبه فبشره بالجنة. الله. This is a hadith of Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira said, كنا قعودا حول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, you remember there was a time while they were sitting around the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أظهرنا. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up. You know, he left them. وخشينا فأبطى علينا. And then we were hoping that he would come back very quickly. But unfortunately, he did not come back. وخشينا أن يقتطع دوننا وفزنا فقمنا. So we was starting to be afraid of him being in trouble with some people. Some people kidnapped him. So these are the thoughts that started to come to the mind of the companions who were there when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left. Abu Huraira said, "Fakuntu awwala man fazi'a." So I was the first person to be scared. You know, he worried so much. He said, "I was the first person to worry." That means most likely he was the first person to raise the issue. What happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he said, "Fakuntu awwala man fazi'a." I was the first person to be worried about that. فَخَرَجْتُ أَبْتَغِي رَسُولَ صلى الله عليه وسلم حَتَّى أَتَيْتُ حَائِطًا لِلْأَنصَارِ لِبَنِ النَّجَّارِ أَدُرْتُ بِهِ هَلْ أَجِدُ لَهُ بَابًا فَلَمْ أَجِدْ. He said, "I left everyone and I moved towards the direction I thought the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went to. So until the time I reached Ha'id," this is the farm that belongs to Ansar, the tribe, in particular the tribe of Najjar, Bani Najjar. So Abu Huraira said, "I kept on going around this farm to see, is there any door that I can use to get inside the farm?" قَالَ فَلَمْ أَجِدْ. I couldn't find any door. فَإِذَا رَبِيعٌ يَدْخُلُ فِي جَوْفِ حَائِطٍ مِنْ بِئْرٍ خَارِجَةٍ. So he said, "I couldn't find any door. But then I found that is a hole. You know, there is a hole. This hole they use it for watering the plant." Yeah, that's why he says this is an exit from the well that is out of the farm. So he said, "I used that one." That's when he compressed himself because it is very small hole for the water. Come from the well and get inside the farm. Al-Jadawil, for those of you who used to do farming. So he said, "I used that one. I squeezed myself so much so that I can be able to pass." قَالَ فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَقَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ. So I get inside, subhanAllah. And I get inside. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perceived that somebody is coming. So he said, "Abu Huraira," he said, "Abu Huraira," he's asking, "is it Abu Huraira?" فَقُلْتُ نَعَمْ. SubhanAllah. Look at how much Abu Huraira is haris. And I was asking the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he realized that somebody is here looking for him, the first person that came to his mind was Abu Huraira. He said, "Abu Huraira," he said, "yes, Ya Rasulullah." قَالَ مَا شَأْلُكَ. He said, "What happened? Why are you here?" كنت بين ظهورنا فقمت فأبطأت علينا فخشينا أن تقطع عدونا ففزعنا. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, you are with us," and then it just like that, you left us. So we started to be afraid of something bad happened to you. وَلِيَبْلِي بِاللَّهِ. قَالَ فَكُنْتُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ فَزِعَ. So he said, "I was the first person, Ya Rasulullah, to worry about this." فأتيت هذا الحائط فاحتفظت كما يحتفظ الأطفال على الأرض. He said, "I squeezed myself just like the way the fox did." وهؤلاء الناس they are also doing the same thing. فقال يا أبا هريرة. يا أبا هريرة. وأعطاني عليه. He says, "Ya Abu Huraira," and he gave me his two pairs of his shoes. قَالَ اِذْهَبْ بِنَا عَلَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ وَمَنْ لَقِيْتَ مِنْ وَرَائِ هَذِي الْحَائِطِ يَعْلَمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُسْتَيْقِنًا بِهَا فَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. الله أكبر. He said, "Just go, my shoes. Because he's going to send him a very heavy word, not everyone will agree with that regard." So he needs some evidence. Sometimes when you send somebody with these type of important news, give them some evidence. You know, in their Hajj to Wada, the Hajj, not Hajjat al-Wada', before that, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded Abu Bakr to lead the Hujjaj, you know, and then later on Surah Bara'ah was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali bin Abi Talib to go and meet Abu Bakr and convey a message. So he gave him his camel. Why did he give him his camel? This is the camel for everyone to know that his Rasulullah was the one who was sent. So the same thing is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send him with an important message, very, very important message about Aqeed. So he gave him his shoes. Everyone knows that these are the shoes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, go with them. And whoever you see, you know, behind this hive, this farm, getting out of this farm, يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. If this person believes and bear witness that there is no to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he believes in this, مُسْتَيْقِنْ بِهَا قَلْبُ. Because this is the only لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ that can benefit a person. The one that goes inside, and that comes from the heart. Yeah, that's the only لا إله إلا الله that benefits, the one that is from the heart. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, سِبْقَمْ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. لا إله إلا الله, if it is not coming from the heart, it will not benefit the one who is saying it. Take an idea. It's لا إله إلا الله. The one that benefits you when the person dies and in the grave is the one that a person says with his heart. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَنْ قَالَ لا إله إلا الله سِبْقَمْ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. If La ilaha illallah is your statement, the last statement, and you are saying this truthfully from your heart, دخل الجنة, the person will go to paradise. So you have to be very careful, you know. Not just saying La ilaha illallah is the one that saves a person. Now, putting La ilaha illallah in action is the one that saves. Putting La ilaha illallah in action is the one that saves. If a person doesn't react, doesn't act upon it, become corrupt, waiting for the time for him to die, you know, to arrive, and then he just say, La ilaha illallah, go to Jannah. No, it doesn't work like this. Allah says, ثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. The only people that get ثبات, these are the people who establish this word of ثبات, الكلمة الطيبة. You know, this, the one who is able to say it, and also when he's about to die, these are the people that manage to put La ilaha illallah into action. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever said La ilaha illallah, this is coming from his heart, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give him good news that he is going to paradise. Abu Huraira went to the Jews, so happy. He met Umar radiallahu anhu. And he told Umar that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever I meet after this farm, out of this farm, as long as he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the only one to be worshipped, I should give him the glad tidings from going to paradise. Umar radiallahu anhu smacked him. He says, who told you? He said, Rasulullah. So he dragged him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Huraira told me that you are the one who told him to do this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, ya Umar, I was the one who asked him to do it. Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, la taf'al. He says, why? He says, for ittakilu, they would do the ittikal. Ittikal means, they would do the ittikal. Ittikal means people will depend on this only. To be the only thing they will be doing. So to be the only thing they will be doing. You know, if I know that, if a person knows that La ilaha illallah is sufficient, you know, so his night prayers, zakah, sadaqat tatawwu, that he's doing anything that is voluntarily, you know, prescribed by the Sharia, he will not continue to do that because all that he has to do is to make sure that he dies with La ilaha illallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't want this to happen. That's why Umar knows this. He told him, Ya Rasulullah, don't tell him to go and tell people this because there are some people who will be waiting for this. the ijtihad they're doing at night, I mean, benefiting the community they're doing, any voluntary action, they will stop it because they know that La ilaha illallah is always there, you know. But death comes, just say La ilaha illallah and does it. And he said, let people work. Let people do things, you know, according to, you know, to Allah, their ijtihad. And this is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh. But he told him, Ya Mu'adh. Mu'adh said, Kuntu Radif al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhima. He said, I was a Radif of the Prophet ﷺ. Who was Radif? The person who was giving a ride. The Prophet ﷺ was giving a ride. This shows that two people can ride an animal, as long as that animal can handle that. Yeah, because animals, just because they're animal, we're not supposed to overburden them. Yeah, if they can handle, two people can go on one animal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him, was giving him a lift. So he said, Ya Mu'adh, atadri ma haqqullahi ala al-ibad wa haqqul ibad ala Allah. He says, Ya Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his creation? And you know what is the right of the creation upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Mu'adh said, No, Ya Rasulullah. Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger know better. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Haqqullahi ala al-ibad, Allah yu'adhib man la yushrika bihi shay'a. The right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his creation is not to punish anyone who does not associate partner with him. Subhanallah. Very great thing. Not to punish the one who does not associate partner with him. Wa haqqul ibadi ala Allah. The right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the creation, and ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bihi shay'an, to worship him without associating partner with him. That's the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. As for our right, which he is the one who make it a right, we don't make it a right. Allah made it a right. It could be our right upon him. And what is our right upon him according to what he told us? Allah yu'adhiba man la yushrika bihi shay'a. Not to punish the one who doesn't associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, can I inform everyone? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, No, la tukhbirhum fa ittakilu. Don't tell them. They will do the ittikal. Ittikal means people are going to depend on this. Yeah, I just make sure that I don't do shirk, then that's it. Pray the sunnah? No. Give some charity? No. Do this? No. As long as this is, La ilaha illallah is enough for me, I don't do shirk. I don't engage myself in any voluntary act of worship. Any voluntary act of worship, people might not do this because of this news they will be hearing from Rasulullah. So Mu'adh told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, can I tell everyone? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Don't do that, because they will do it. So Mu'adh kept it with him. He spoke about it before he dies. He talked about it before death. قَالَ كَرَهِيَةُ التَّأَثُمُ. Out of the fear that you will be sinning, going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without informing the ummah about this good news. So he said it just because he is afraid of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as somebody who is hiding the knowledge. And we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning those people who hide the knowledge. Get it? So all of these news that I have been quoting confirm to us that the most important thing in our life is the aqidah. You Allah. There is nothing better than that. If aqidah is corrupt, everything is going to be corrupt. That's why the most sensitive things in your life is religion, is Islam. And the most sensitive thing in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the aqidah. So if there is anything for you to pay attention more on it, it's your aqidah. Your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only source of tumanina and also comfort of the self in this dunya and the akhirah. Is that clear, inshallah? So everyone should try to make sure that no shirk is committed in your life, in all of its forms. The person should stay away from shirk in all of its forms, you know, throughout his life until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be very careful, there are some activities which scholars end up calling them shirk. And some scholars call some of the activities, you know, or staying away from some activities as shirk. There are some scholars who believe that negligence in the prayer is a form of shirk. So we have to be careful, you know. That's why the most important thing for a Muslim is to try to identify what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do and get busy. Very simple concept. What he doesn't want to do, stay away from it. And inshallah, you get Jannah. That's it. Do what you're told to do, stay away what you are told not to do. It's as simple as this. Don't bring your own style. Don't bring your own version of the religion. Don't bring your own introduction, your own thinking. Just take what you're told to do. Very simple religion. Everything has been cooked for us. We just need to take it and use it. And that's it. If we end up bringing our own version of understanding, trust me, unity will never happen among the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there is always somebody who will not agree with your thinking. There is always somebody who doesn't agree with your sheikh. There is always somebody who doesn't agree with you, you know. But we all agree with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why can't we just go and look for what he asks us to do? Just do that. Exactly what he said. Nobody can tell you you're wrong. Nobody can tell you you are wrong. If you take from me, somebody might tell you you're wrong. If you take from him, somebody will tell you you're wrong. But if you take from Rasulullah and you're able to prove it, nobody can tell you you're wrong. Yeah, we speak to this, you know, it is the only way to the unity of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Around the Quran and the Sunnah. He says, "Taraktu fikum amrayn lan tadhillu ma in tamsaku bihima." I left behind you two things. You will never go astray as long as you are holding upon Kitab Allah wa Sunnah, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Hold them with your mollusk." Because if you hold something with this teeth, usually it is going to be firmly held. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hold the sunnah, live in the sunnah, let yourself die in the sunnah. And I will conclude with this statement of Sufyan al-Thawri, if I'm not mistaken. He says, in istata'ta alla tahukka ra'saka illa bi sunnah fafad. I love this statement. He said, in istata'ta alla tahukka ra'saka illa bi sunnah fafad. He says, if you can make your life, all of it, that whatever you do, is based on the sunnah. He said, do it. Even when you scratch your head, if you can have some sunnah about the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do that. One of them said, in istata'ta alla talbasana alayka, la talbasana alayka illa bi sunnah fafa'al. He said, if you can make your life all based on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including how do you wear your shoes, you do it because of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you to do that. You Allah, that's the best and the only way for a person to succeed in this life. Imam Malik, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, they are all reported to have said, as sunnatu safinatu nuhin. Man rakibaha naja, wa man takhallafa anha gharik. It says, sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like safinatu nuh. You know the ship that was used by Nuh alaihi wasallam, right? At that time, they're the only one who survived. Whoever is out of that ship is gone. That's why Allah told him, even the animals, you should take two pairs, male and a female, because everyone is going to go. SubhanAllah. So they said, Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like Safinatu Nuh. Man rakib hanaja, whoever get inside will pass, will succeed, will be saved. Wa man takhallafa anha, gharik. And whoever stays away from it will sink and die. So qala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jannah, and we have heard that the completion of this hadith, Abu Hurairah met Umar radiallahu anhu, and he told him about what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and Umar told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please, Ya Rasulullah, don't let him do that, because I am afraid that people are going to stop contributing, you know, to that which is beneficial to the community, and they will not do the sunan they used to be doing, simply because they know that all that they have to do is to make sure that they don't commit shirk in their life, and then they will go to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and make us among the people of La ilaha illallah. Qala wa an ibn Shumasa qala hadarna Amr ibn al-As wa huwa fi siyaqat al-maut fa baka tawilan wa hawwala wajhahu ila al-jidar. فجعل ابنه يقول يا أبتاه أما بشرك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بكذا فبشرك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بكذا فأقبل بوجهه فقال إن أفضل ما نعد شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. Abu Ibn Shumasa said, I remember a time when we met Amr ibn al-As. We visited Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As is known, right? One of the warriors and heroes in the Islamic history. The companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that accepted Islam, and among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with a lot of victories for the Muslim communities. So Amr ibn al-As, when he was about to die, he was visited by a group of people. So this narrator says, I remember I was there when he was about to die. So he cried a lot. And he tried to turn his face towards the wall. Not look at the people, but he's looking at, he's facing the wall next to him. So his son kept on telling him, Abi, Dad, didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam give you good news with this and that? Didn't you receive a good news from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you will be getting this and that? فَأَقْبَلَ بِوَجْهِهِ فَقَالَ إِنَّ أَفْضَلَ مَا نُعِدُّ شَهَادَةَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So Amr ibn al-As, when he heard his son mentioning those things, so he turned back his face to the people who are next to him. And then he told them, the best thing we prepare when we are about to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, to bear witness that there is none to be worshipped except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thumma qala, and then he said, inni qad kuntu ala atwaqin thalathin لقد رأيتني وما أحد أشد قربا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منه. سبحان الله. He said, I live this life in three stages. Three stages. He said, the first stage is the time when I remember that there was nobody on earth. He says that there was nobody on earth that I hate than Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I don't think there is somebody who hates Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم more than. ولا أحب إلي من أن أكون قد استمتعت منه فقتلته. He says there was nobody that I always wished to have a chance to see myself, me and him, and then to kill him. He said I have nobody in my list that is more than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says the one that number one that I want to kill in my life. سبحان الله. قال فلو مت على تلك الحال لكنت من أهل النار. He said الحمد لله I live to see the second stage. He said, if I die at that moment, he said, confirmed, I will go to hell. فَلَمَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْإِسْلَامَ فِي قَلْبِي أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَقُلْتُ أُبْسُطْ يَمِينَكَ فَلِأُبَايَعَكَ أو فَلَأُبَايَعَكَ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Islam in my heart. I went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I said, Ya Rasulullah, please give me your hand. I want to give you the bay'ah. Bay'ah is the oath of allegiance, to promise that you're going to obey. فَبَسَطَ يَمِينَهُ فَقَبَضْتُ يَمِينَهُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم put his hand. He put his hand to the ship. You know, in the sense of the bay'ah, Amr ibn al-As said, فَقَبَضْتُ يَمِينَهُ. I took my hand back. I folded it and took it back. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مَا لَكَ يَا عَمْرُ. What happened to you, يا عَمْرُ? What happened? قُلْتُ أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَشْتَرِتْ. قَالَ تَشْتَرُتُ مَاذَا. He said, I said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to have a condition. I have a condition. I was going to give you my hand, but then I remember that I should have a condition. قُلْتُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي. The Prophet said, what is your condition? So I told him, Ya Rasulullah, my condition is to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, my condition is to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قلت أن يغفر لي. He says, my condition is to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال أما علمت أن الإسلام يهدم ما قبله وأن الهجرة تهدم ما قبلها وأن الحج يهدم ما قبله. سبحان الله. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, Ya Amr, don't you know that الإسلام يهدم ما قبله? Islam destroys and erases whatever came before it. meaning whatever a person did before Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive that one. Whatever a person did before Islam, after the acceptance of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the sin of that person. قال أما علمت أن الإسلام يهدم ما قبله وأن الهجرة تهدم ما قبلها. Don't you know that hijra erases and destroys whatever was before it? Meaning if a person committed hijra, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erased whatever he did before that. As long as it is not related to the human's right. Allah's right will be forgiven بإذن الله عز وجل. The same goes to the tawbah. When a person commits a tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive his sins. وَأَنَّ الْحَجَّ يَهْدِمُ مَا قَبْلَهُ. And a person who makes hajj erases whatever sin a person committed before that. Amr ibn al-As said, وَمَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَا أَجَلَّ فِي عَيْنِ مِنْهُ وَكُنْتُ لَا أُطِيقُ أَنْ أَمْلَى عَيْنِ مِنْهُ إِجْلَالًا لَهُ وَلَوْ سُئِلْتُ أَنْ أَصِفَهُ ما أطقت لأني لم أكن أملأ عيني منه ولو مت على تلك الحال لرجوت أن أكون من أهل الجنة. الله أكبر. He says at that moment after I accept Islam, he says, Wallahi, there was nobody that I love in this life more than Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, not only that, I couldn't even raise up my head, you know, to look at the face of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that much. That's why if somebody is to ask me to describe Rasulullah, I cannot give you the best description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Out of shyness, I wasn't able to look at him that much. Subhanallah. He says, وَلَوْ مِتُّ عَلَى تِلْكَ الْحَالِ لَرَجُوتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. If I were to die at that time, he says, I will have a big hope that I will go to paradise. That's the second stage, right? قَالَ ثُمَّ وَلِّينَا أَشْيَاءَ مَا نَدْرِي مَا حَالِي فِيهَا مَا أَدْرِي مَا حَالِي فِيهَا فَإِذَا أَنَا مِتُّ ولا تصحبني نائحة ولا نار وإذا دفنتموني فشنوا علي التراب شنا ثم أقيموا حول قبري قدر ما تنحر جزور ويقسم لحمها حتى أستأنس بكم وأنظر ماذا أراجع به رسول ربي سبحان الله. He says, and then after that, life changes. I became the governor in one place. I happened to be a leader of a group of people. He said, I don't know what exactly happened to us at that time. I have the fear that I might get into trouble. He said, now I don't know my situation. The first situation I know. The second one I know. But the third one, he said, I'm not sure what exactly will happen if I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that position that I have taken, you know, to lead a nation, you know, because he was a governor of Awiyah radiallahu anhu in Egypt, and also in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, please, if I die, nobody should follow me as long as he is crying or shouting or screaming. Those people who scream and shout, they shouldn't follow my janaza. And when you put me in the grave, please put the sand, the turab on me, you know, gently. Let's wait for the adhan, inshallah. After the adhan, I complete this last part of the last question. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So let's just complete the hadith. I think a bit left, inshallah. So Amr ibn al-As said, فَإِذَا أَنَا مِتْتُ فَلَا تَصْحَبْنِي نَائِحَةٌ وَلَا نَوْ. He said, please don't follow my janaza with the na'iha. Na'iha is usually, these are the sisters or anyone who is invited to come and shout and cry for the dead person. In some cultures, they have this. Yeah, the more money you pay, the more they cry for you. They hire a person to do this. Yeah. So Amr ibn al-As said, nobody is supposed to follow me. I don't allow anyone to follow me who is upon this nature. Walanar, and then also follow me with fire. فَإِذَا دَفَنْتُمُونِي فَشُنُّوا عَلَيَّ التُّرَابَ شَنَّا. He says, please, when you bury me, put the turab, the clay, the sand, gently, slowly, slowly, bit by bit, until then. And he wants people to stay a bit more. Subhanallah. ثُمَّ قِيمُوا حَوْلَ قَبْرِي قَدْرَ مَا تُنْحَرُ جَزُورٌ وَيُقْسَمُ لَحْمُهَا حَتَّى أَسْتَأْنِسُ بِكُمْ حَتَّى أَسْتَأْنِسَ بِكُمْ. He said, and also, please, stay nearby my grave. You know, he said, please don't go away, just stay nearby. He says, and I want you to stay a bit longer. The amount of time that is enough to slaughter a camel and also to remove the skin and to cut the meat and distribute it to the needy. Yeah. He mentioned why did he want people to do that. He says, Hasta astanisa bikum. He said, at least I know that there are some people waiting there. You know, wa andur madha uraju rusul rabbi. And also maybe that might help me to get comfort, you know, on that which I will be replying the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the grave. So that's hadith of Amr ibn al-As, and the reason why the Mu'allif wrote it, because the son says, Amma basharaka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bikada. Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give you good news with this and that? Yeah, and then Amr ibn al-As wasn't, you know, caring about that. And this is the nature of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they're about to die, whatever you tell them about the bushara they got from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that doesn't come to their mind, which confirmed to us that this is a really, really heavy moment that a person should make sure that he prepared for that. You know, I remember Aisha radiallahu anha, Umar radiallahu anha, they all receive praises from people, you know, about what they did, but that doesn't mean anything to them, you know, at the last minute of their life. Because now you are facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what remains is reality. You know yourself properly, people might not know things which you know, but they don't know. So they might be praising in wrong. Even if they praise you in the right way, the issue is still there, that you don't know those things that you have been doing, which people see as righteousness, are they accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? You try your best and inshallah they will be accepted. But you know, the believers, they still have some fear, you know, in their heart. Maybe they were rejected, maybe they did not do it correctly, and on and on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and make our khatima hasana. إنه بكل جميل كثير. We have a question. السلام. كيف؟ No, the only right, and they are asking about the right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes. The only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes is the sins between you and him. As for the one between you and others, you have to pay them back their right. And you have to apologize to them. You met somebody, you have to go to him and tell him, to ask him to forgive you, if that is not going to create issue. If it is going to create issue, the scholar said, give charity on his behalf, make dua a lot, and talk about him in a good way. You know, in places where you used to backbite him. You know, you took money from others, you have to return it back. Islam doesn't forgive that. Any right between you and others, you have to pay it back. Now, but those between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody used to commit zina, somebody used to gamble, somebody used to take riba, somebody used to, you know, do so many things which are between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these sins will be erased completely. Yeah. right after he accepts Islam, everything will be gone. Even Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know. No, you tell. She's asking, can we tell the hadith of Ba'ad radiallahu anhu? Yeah, you tell, she teach people. Unless if you know that the one who's next to you is a mutahawir, you know, this person, if you tell him, most likely the qiyamul layl he's doing, he will stop doing. It's better just teach him some other. We have a lot of other hadith. Give him those ones. Yeah, there are some hadith, trust me, if you're going to say them to the public, they might misunderstand. And you might see somebody who's committed sin using those hadith. So you don't tell them to the people. Yeah, let him study first and let the iman establish in his heart. Go to the school, then he will understand what exactly the Prophet ﷺ meant by those hadith. A good idea. You have to be smart when you're giving da'wah to the people. Not everything you say to everyone. There are things which you cannot say to everyone. You can say to some, but you cannot say to all. There are things which you can say to the class, students you are talking to them, but you cannot say it on the mimbar. You get idea. So you have to be very smart and using the wisdom. I close with this statement. Ali bin Abi Talib said, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تُحَدِّثَ أو عبد الله بن مسعود إِنَّكَ لَنْ تُحَدِّثَ قَوْمًا حَدِيثًا لَا تَبْلُغُهُ وَقُولُهُمْ إِلَّا كَانَ لِبَعْضِهِمْ فِتْنَةً. You will never tell people something that they cannot grasp, their mindset cannot understand it properly, except that it's going to become fitna for some of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيرٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ